grab a front row seat to the Untold Stories as we talk about how to live life on your terms. You're officially part of the inner circle. Welcome to Courtside with Courtney. And don't worry, I comped your ticket. Welcome back to another episode of Courtside with Courtney. Today we're going to do a little Q&A, assumptions, advice, all the good things updated, basically, because I feel like my DMs are always flooded with questions from you guys, and I want to be able to answer all of them. But that's one of my favorite things about the podcast, is it's been able to be this open forum for us where I can dive into things like in more depth, honestly, and just actually get to talk to you guys, whether it's answering a question that you guys have. And I feel like since the Instagram platform is obviously much bigger than the podcast, this is sort of like for the girls, like the girls that get it. And we are a club here at the podcast. And I feel like, again, it just goes back to this being my inner circle, and you guys are part of my inner circle. And it's just been so fun to be able to share more tidbits with you here than I even share on socials, a lot more. So let's get into some of the juicy tea, some things that have been going on lately, and give you guys some advice and things. I have pulled a bunch of questions that you guys have asked. Some are about me and some are advice questions for you guys. So I'm just going to take it from the top and get to as many of these as I can. There might even be a part two. Who knows? TBD. I'm 41, still single, no kids, and depressed about it. Help. I talk with my best friend about this a lot, but it is, I think so much of life is mentality. It's all about your mindset. And I do think it's all about your energy, and people feel your energy. So when you have this like sort of depressed, like, and obviously like there are levels of depression where go and speak to someone and talk to someone, cause they're going to be able to help you. But I just mean in like trendy terms, kind of like, I feel so like sad about it. Right. Or I feel like bummed out about it. So this is not to discount like actual depression and anxiety, but if you're feeling sad about it and just like in a negative headspace, try to flip that and have a different mindset. Some ways I like to do this are with reality always. I think the reality is, yeah, you could look around and say that a lot of people have partners and their person and their life looks so perfect, but the reality behind a lot of those closed doors is really not good. Like, those aren't necessarily all good marriages that you're witnessing. And oftentimes the more somebody is talking about, oh, everything's so perfect all the time, it's like, is it? So I think at the end of the day, trying to get a little bit of a dose of reality that like, yeah, maybe somebody got married when they were 22 years old, but maybe they're miserable. So it's not necessarily all happy and good. And so trying not to romanticize other people's lives, but instead romanticize yours and realize that your life can be like a Hallmark movie. Like, you can allow yourself to slip into like that romanticizing your life mode and just say, you know what? I haven't found my person, but that means I have so much opportunity to find that person. And when I do, because I haven't settled, it's going to be so good. And also date with more intentionality. If you want to have kids, you just said single and no kids, so you didn't say if you wanted them. But if you do, I would say date with intentionality to look for someone who has similar values as you, but try to see the bright side, because people will be attracted to that energy. If you walk around with this like sad energy and you're bummed out, or you feel like you're not enough, or you're going to come from that place of lack, people will feel that. You never want to be serving desperate energy. You always want to be coming from a place of abundance. And like, yeah, I haven't found someone, I haven't settled yet, but how lucky am I to have the opportunity to find that person? So try and change your mindset. I think that will help a lot. Also, like, it's 2024. 41 is not old. Like, you still have so much time to do all the things that you want to do. So hopefully that's encouraging. How to stay motivated. I guess it depends what lane you're talking about. If you mean like fitness motivated, for me, obviously I want to look good. Like, I'd be lying to you guys if I said I didn't care. Of course I care. Like, I want to look good. I want to feel fit. But for me, the biggest thing is how it makes me feel internally. Whenever I get up and I walk, or I do Pilates, which actually reminds me, I need to book Pilates this week. Whenever I get up and I do Pilates, I feel so centered. I feel good. I feel calm. I feel like the best version of myself when I get outside and I take a walk in nature. So for me, I'm much more motivated by how I feel in that case, because I do think that when you feel good and grounded, you look good. You look happy. If you notice, and I've noticed this with some people lately, you can see someone and they can be so cute and like really pretty, but like, you've seen someone more beautiful. I'm trying to think of a way to phrase this. You could see the most beautiful person on planet Earth, and they can have a bad attitude, or like be mean or shitty personality and they're just not going to be that pretty. Or you can see someone that's really cute, but like that their attitude and their confidence and they just are so kind and they're radiating and they're going to be more attractive to you. So you can have people on either side of the spectrum, but how you look, like how you look on the inside, your attitude and your perspective will really shift how you look on the outside. So even when it comes to fitness, I try to stay motivated, or I am motivated by how it makes me feel, not necessarily how it makes me look. And then with work, I think I'm just inspired because I love what I do. So finding ways to enjoy what you do on a regular basis, I think is so major. And if you hate your job, change it. I'm huge on that. If you hate what you do, do something different. Life is too short. Why spend one more month doing something that you absolutely hate? Now that obviously could sound like tone deaf if you are working and you're putting yourself through school and you need to make money. Of course, I'm not saying just like bail and quit your job and run through rainbows and sunshine, but I am saying take steps to go find something that you do enjoy responsibly and go do that instead. Growing out of a friendship, we were always so close until this year with work, city, friend, life. I was also just talking to some friends about this, but I think it's totally normal and natural to grow apart from your friends. Whether you're experiencing growth or they're experiencing growth, sometimes people just don't grow together and that's okay. But I think at the end of the day, it is so much more important to surround yourself with people who elevate you and who you elevate, that feels like really good energy that you can bounce ideas off of, that just isn't, that aren't like bringing you down. At the end of the day, it's okay to grow out of a friendship and to move on. I think like we need to normalize that more. I also don't think it has to be this whole big drama. It can just simply be, we are in two different places. That's okay. Normalize growing apart from friends if it's just not right. Like some people are here to teach us lessons or vice versa. And some people are actually here for the long haul. And those will be your lifelong friends. Like those are your ride or dies. But sometimes that's just not what it's meant to be with somebody. And that's okay too. My dream is to become a personal assistant for an influencer. How can I do that? I love this. I think there needs to be more light shed on the fact that there are so many cool jobs and opportunities in the content creation space and world. It's not just the person in front of the camera. There are so many other jobs, because the reality is people are interested in this space and they want to be in it, but maybe you don't want to be the me of the situation, right? Like there's so many cool jobs. Maybe Kirsten and I can do like an episode, a more like work focused BTS episode for you guys. That could be fun, because I feel like Audrey and I have had our more work focused episode. But for me, I would say to DM the person and maybe give them ideas, like provide value in some way. Hey, I've been following you for a long time. Pitch yourself. I've been following you. Pay attention. Like don't give them ideas they've already done five times, because that will obviously be a turn off. But hey, like I've been following you for a while. I really respect what you're doing. I'm like really interested in working for you. I'm wondering if you have an assistant. If you don't and you're interested, I would be happy to send you over some ideas or some things that like I could potentially help with. Just kind of like pitch yourself and provide value in some way. Cause that's really what we want. Like we want our lives to be easier at the end of the day. If I'm having to tell someone all the time what to do and they're not making my life easier in some way, what's the point? I can do it myself, you know? Ex-fiance came back after a failed relationship with his coworker. I feel like a second option, because you are. Absolutely not. Absolutely the fuck not, my friend. Look, at the end of the day, if this man made a commitment to you and he wanted to propose to you, because he's the one that asked that question, obviously, as the man in the relationship, he is the one that asked the question. So if he felt confident enough to ask that question, and then he somehow had a relationship with his coworker and it didn't work out, I personally would never give this man the time of day again. And we wish him well. You guys know the drill. Struggling post-breakup, depressed and feeling not myself, how to get out of a rut. Do things that make you feel like you. I think having some acknowledgement and understanding that this person was not, obviously not your person at the end of the day, that's okay. But this wasn't your person, and it's okay to know that. But I think for me, like internalizing that, it will likely help you move on, because you're realizing that you're not letting go of, oh my God, this big grand love story I'm having to let go of. It's not that. It's you're letting go of someone that wasn't for you, which is a really good thing, ultimately, really beautiful thing. And you want the right person for you, not just a person. I see this a lot on the internet where people like think it's a flex to have a man. And it's like, babe, it's not a flex just to have a man. It's a flex to have the right man. It's a flex to have a really good relationship. It's a flex to be a really good person. It's also a flex to be single as fuck if you're happy that way. And if you were in a toxic relationship with somebody that you don't want to be with. So it's like all of those things can be a flex. It's not just a flex to have a man. So I would say focus on yourself, do things that make you happy, get out, get some fresh air, spend time with your girlfriends. Again, kind of romanticize your life. Also too, I see questions about dating and all this for me personally, right? Like from, I want to say too, I give advice from things I've been through in the past. I give advice from just like knowing what I know from being on earth and dating and all these things for, you know, 36 years. What I talk about on TikTok and stuff is not like my current dating life. I'm just saying like, these are things that I know in general. You know what I mean? I'm also reading these questions for the first time really as I'm going through this Q&A. So bear with me as I like actually read the question. How to find hobbies you enjoy, how to distract yourself, hang out without friends, etc. Again, like the sort of weird theme for this episode has been romanticizing your life in some form or fashion. I would say you could divide hobbies into categories too, right? It could be like, okay, reading and self-care is a hobby, because if you think about self-care as a hobby, you could have, I mean, taking a bath isn't a hobby, but like it kind of is, you know, like it kind of is a hobby. It's one of my hobbies, but you can go down each of those rabbit holes. So to take a bath and to romanticize the bath, I would get like some Epsom salt, or I would get the, what's the bath salt I'm obsessed with? The higher dose one? Magnesium soak bath salt. It's amazing. I can't even live without it at this point. I love it so much. So it's like the magnesium soak bath salt. Get that. You get a candle. You get a playlist. You get a book. You get your waterproof Kindle. You read it in the bath. Like you're making the situation a situation. You know what I mean? You're not just like taking a bath, like sitting in there bored. Like you're really doing it up. Everything you're doing up and romanticizing in some way. Cooking could be a great hobby, but okay, slay. I'm going to go to Home Goods. I'm going to get some really pretty plates. I'm going to go to Anthropology. I'm going to grab something that makes me want to cook and enjoy it. Working out, cool. I need a new workout set. So I guess shopping is obviously my hobby as well, but I would say art. You could make art like a fun little day for yourself and try different mediums. Maybe you want to play with painting. Maybe you want to play with watercolors or doodling or gel pens, or I love all of these things. Just experiment through certain things like that. And I would just make each thing kind of romantic. Like drinking coffee is even a hobby in a way, right? Like maybe you have a new coffee machine and you're learning different ways to make your coffee and have that be kind of like fun, a fun moment for you every day. So I would say those are some of, you know, my favorite things. Walking, spending time with my friends. This one says without friends, but I'm just like a big social girly. But I think all those things like art, sports, fitness, self-care, friend time, spending time in the sunshine, like going to the pool, any of that. Shopping's, I mean, more my full time. I'm more like Olympic at shopping than I would say a hobby, but you know, you get the drill. I found out my sister lied to me about something that happened 8 years ago. Do I say something to her? The person who told me asked me not to say anything, but I'm sad. Okay. I don't have a sister, but I have a lot of friends with sisters. And sister talk is always a hot topic. I feel like I have a brother, but I feel like having a sister is just different. Like having a sister is a different energy than having a brother. I feel like it's a little bit more complex and a little bit more dynamic. For me, I can't not be honest. The person that I am and my personality is like, I don't hide. Like I cannot lie. I'm a terrible liar. Whenever I like try to not say something, it is all over my face. Now, very different. I can be discreet about things. If one of my friends says, don't tell anyone this, like I would never tell anyone that. I would quite literally like go to prison before I tell someone a secret of someone, like one of my friends, someone else. But if it's something about me personally, I cannot lie. I just don't have the ability. So I couldn't go, I don't think, if I had a sister and like look at my sister and know that she lied to me and without saying something, I don't think. I guess it depends what it is. Like, is it something you can brush off and just digest and like, weird, good to know? Or is this like really major? For me, I would probably bring it up, but I would not bring it up in a way that was like overly confrontational, or I would never out the person that told me. Like, I think you have to find a strategic way to to let her know, like, hey, I recently found out blah, blah, blah happened. Like, just wanted to talk to you about this, instead of saying someone told me, because like, obviously that's not going to go well. And it's not respectful of the person that told you either. I don't know if this is helpful or if I'm just rambling, but I hope so. Easiest place to make friends as an adult. It's so hard. I just moved to a new city. I would say workout classes, gyms, coffee shops, shopping out and about. Again, just doing things that you like, because you're the grocery store. Like, you'd be around like-minded people. Or even social media. Like, I even think like finding people and you like around you in your area like that, and just like asking them a question like, hey, I just moved to Austin. Can you recommend like great lunch spots to go? Like, striking up a conversation with people, I think, is really good. We were just saying off camera too, if you see someone that's cute, that's your vibe, like Catherine and I talk about this in our episode together, have the balls to go up and say something about it. For me, like, I was like, I love your jewelry stack. Like, it took us a while, but then I was like, hey, really like your bracelets. Like, compliment somebody. Just be like, hey, like, what do you like to do for fun around here? Like, I just moved here. Just strike up conversation. I find complimenting someone is like a really good way to do that, because it kind of instantly, and you have to find something that you genuinely want to compliment them on about. Obviously, it has to like feel genuine. But if you're looking at someone that you're like, ooh, she could be cute, like, we could be friends, she seems nice or fun or whatever, you probably do have like an easy, genuine compliment that you could give her. What all have you done cosmetic or aesthetic wise? I have my lips done. I haven't gotten them done in so long, but obviously I have filler in my lips. I feel like it just kind of like lives there for a while. I've had my under eyes filled. That is also totally gone. It's been a very long time as well. Iris, the girl that does my injections, said that my skin is like too thin under here now. Like, it just doesn't work anymore. It doesn't look good. But I have done that and I liked it. And then I did it at one point and nothing happened. Like, it didn't work. So I stopped doing that. I get Botox in my 11s here and here. I like a smile line. I like a nose scrunch. So I don't touch any of those places. And I do this all very lightly and minimally. Like, I just had my Botox done. It's fully kicked in. Like, I like movement. I'm like moving my face around. I like movement. I don't want to be like completely frozen. For me, it's more preventative. My Botox was completely gone last time I did it. And I definitely don't have like wrinkles. Like, I don't feel like bad without Botox, because I'm always on my skincare game, but I feel like makeup goes on so smooth, and then I do feel like a little just like snatched with it, so I like it. I've had my boobs done, obviously, lifted, and implants. I think that's it. Like, I think that's the list. Yeah, I mean, you don't count like my eyebrows laminated and stuff like that. How long did it take you from questioning divorce to actually doing it? I guess kind of a long time, if I'm being honest, because I think like I always knew that he wasn't my person. So like, I felt like that, maybe not like always, obviously, but like there was definitely seeds of doubt for me always, to like, to some degree. Obviously Kinsley came out of it, so it's a beautiful thing, blah, blah, blah. But you know, I think like a while, like I really did everything I felt like I could. I tried to communicate and be, you know, like have that level of emotional intelligence with someone else, like have that conversation. But I think at the end of the day, like, you can only do what you can do. And if that person either isn't your person or doesn't meet you halfway, like, it kind of is what it is. So for me, eventually it got to a point where I just realized that it just wasn't going to be what I needed it to be or wanted it to be. And it wasn't even that as much as like, it just wasn't good. Like, it wasn't healthy, wasn't like enough. Like, it wasn't what I wanted my life's relationship to look like. So I think it took a while though, because we did therapy and all the things, and I wanted to make sure for myself and for my daughter that I felt really confident that I did the right thing. And I do. How to take things slow in the beginning of a relationship, in the beginning stages of hanging out with someone new. I think the most important thing to realize, and I think it can be hard as a woman when you either get excited about something, or in the past, like if you've been love bombed, you're so used to almost like an unrealistic version of someone being like obsessed with you. And there's a difference in, you want someone, look, at the end of the day, like, you want someone to be crazy about you and to pursue you and to prioritize you and to be here for you. But someone that is just unhealthy about that is a whole other story. Like, I love consistency. Consistency is everything and it's major. Consistency is very different from constantly. You want someone to be consistent, not constant. So I think when it comes to like taking things at a certain pace in the beginning stages of a relationship, partly you have to just go with the flow of the relationship. Like there are going to be a natural current to each connection. Some are slower, some are faster. It depends on what people have been through, where they are in life, like who they are, all these things, right? Like there's just a natural flow. But at the same time, making sure that you're like connecting dots and allowing things to just happen. Because the reality of the situation is like, I don't know you yet fully until I have seen you in certain situations, until I've seen like, how do you show up and support me? How do you around my family? How are you around my friends? How are you after a hard day at work? How are you when things like just don't go your way? How are you when it's hot outside? How are you when you're tired? How are you when like I'm killing it and things are going really well for me? How are you when like all these different situations, when I'm sick, when you're sick? Like you need to see someone. So I think like diving into it to a degree, but also tempering like your expectations, I guess, in the sense that you need to fully like get to know this person. And that's just a time thing. I don't really think you know somebody until like 2-3 months into a relationship. I think people can be a version of themselves that's like this put on thing for like a month, 2 months. When you start getting to that 3 month mark, you really like have a good picture and example of like who somebody is, like in a lot of different scenarios. And I think that's really important. So I would say take it slow based on just that knowledge, like just knowing that you need 3 months, like you need that time to be able to see if you even like this person. Like so many women I hear constantly saying things like, does he like me? How do I know if he likes me? And for me, the question is like, do you like him? Really observe and see how you feel about this man as well. Does he allow you to like be in your feminine? Does he step up? Is he smart? Is he interesting? Is he kind? Does he like have people that he surrounds himself with that you like? Like how is his work-life balance? Is he motivated? Like who is this man? Like, do you even like him first? Like, how does he treat you? How does he make you feel? So look at him through that lens too. Stop worrying so much about if he likes you and try to focus on like, do you even like him? Because if you don't even like him and this isn't someone that you see as a good partner for yourself, then like who gives a shit if he doesn't like you, right? Like we aren't just out here trying to impress people or to be liked. The goal is to be yourself, be grounded in who you are, be comfortable, be confident, and then have that right person come into your life, be ready for them and build something with that person. The goal is not just like, do they like me? Like get this guy to like me. Like who cares? You don't even know if you like him yet. So wait and see if you like him before you worry if he likes you, you know? And my also like my intuition on that for you guys is if you do like him and it is someone that's going to be a good fit for you, you're not going to worry if he likes you because he'll show you and he'll tell you and his actions will align with his words. That's like the biggest thing for me. Do his actions and his words align? That's so important because someone is telling you that they care and they're showing you that they care, then they probably do. If they're telling you they care and showing you they don't, they probably don't, you know? I moved to a new state. I dated the guy 7 years, got engaged and he cheated on me. What do I do? You stay in the new state. Stay away from this man. Stay in, I repeat, stay in the new state. No, but really, it's like you dated this guy for 7 years. You gave him your heart, your life and your time and your energy. He proposed to you, so he felt good enough about it to get down on one knee and propose, and he cheated on you. The guy's a loser, straight up. Watched my neighbor bring home another woman when his wife was gone. Do I tell her? I say, hell yeah. Yes, 100% yes. I think, too, we live in the era where, like, men just can't get away with things anymore. And I love that for us as women. And women either, but I just think like a lot of times it's men are the ones like being a little shadier. Not always. I do think girls can absolutely be shady. Like women have the capacity for sure. But men used to do things that are shady and they're like dumb about it. And they think that they're not going to get caught. And then like TikTok calls you out and you see these like viral TikTok. Like if you know a guy named Brian and he's 6'4" and he lives in Florida, he just cheated on you last night. And you're like, oh shit, Brian's on the, like Brian's going to get roasted. It's kind of great though, right? Like girls, energy. If you know something, honey, say something, I think. Because karmically too, like, wouldn't you want to know? It might not be the most ideal way to find out, but at the same time, it's so much more embarrassing to know that, like, your man cheated on you and no one told you, but other people knew. Other people knew and saw and they didn't tell you. Then, I would be so grateful if someone told me. I'd be like, hell yeah. Like, thank you. Thank you for letting me know. You know, it's, I guess, like, a dangerous slippery slope, because we do live in a world where people can just, like, make shit up, which sucks. But if you saw it with your own two eyes, like, making stuff up, again, karmically, like, you're going to get roasted in hell for that one. I'm sorry to say it. Like, you just are. So be a good person. Lead with that. But if you saw this with your own eyes, this isn't, like, hearsay or gossip, and you witnessed it, then I would say something. What would you guys? Kirsten says yes. Allie? 100% yes. 3 for 3 over here. We say yes. Ways women can initiate convos with someone that they're interested in if the man doesn't make the first move. I think it's good to initiate an interest, but personally, like, I would want him to make the first move as far as, like, show me that he's interested. I think you show that you're interested and then kind of let him, you can lead the man to water, but he's going to have to drink. You know what I mean? So specific ways you can initiate a conversation to show someone that you're interested. I think a compliment, kind of the same thing as the friendship angle. I think you can compliment someone. That's, like, a really easy way where you can show someone that you're interested and it's, like, fun and flirty. I think you could make a joke. You could just, like, keep it simple. You could also just go up and be like, hey, like, it depends where you are, right? But I think just being bold is attractive. Like, guys like that. And sometimes they are little scaredy cats. So I think, like, showing him, hey, like, I am interested can be a really good thing, but then he also has to be interested back and pursue you. So compliment, just going up and saying hi, asking a question of sorts, like, hey, do you know the best place to, like, grab a really good cup of coffee around here? Hey, like, something like that. Like, it can be kind of a generic question, but it's all in the body language too. Like, good eye contact, showing him that you're interested like that, I think is good. What are your goals for the rest of 2024? Good question. My goals for the rest of 2024. We have some really, really, really exciting things happening with Dibs that I can't tell you guys yet. I'm not allowed to, but just know that some really good things are coming and I think you guys are gonna freak out. So I have some, like, travel related to things happening like that with Dibs that are just gonna be, like, next level. I'll say that, that's my hint. Next level good. You guys, it's gonna be amazing. So really specific, like, Dibs goals that unfortunately I can't share, but I will not wait 1 minute longer. Like, as soon as I get the green light, I'll absolutely share with you guys. I want to be really intentional about spending some good summer time with Kinsley. That's important to me this year. I feel like it's easy, especially when you're a working mom, to just be like work, work, work. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, summer's over. When I really am, like, taking her on a trip this year and I want to, like, I have literal days on my calendar marked off, like, okay, this afternoon, because I'm doing a bunch of, like, camps with her this year. So it'll be, she's in gymnastics camp or art camp and she's there, like, you know, 9 to 1. And so after that, those times I have her, it's like, okay, like, it's 2 o'clock. I want to take her to the pool. I want to make dinner with her. I want to have a movie night. Like, I really want to be intentional about putting aside the work time on those days and just, like, focusing on her and really getting to spend good quality time with her so that we make those memories this summer. That's, like, really big for me. I want to continue to pour into friendships and people that I really care about and continue to, like, trim the fat. Like, if somebody just isn't being a good friend or I don't feel like we're on the same page, they're not providing value, I'm not providing value, like, whatever it is, back and forth. Like, if it's just not feeling super mutual, super connective, I don't feel supported and loved, like, they're out. I just don't have the time anymore, honestly. So it's, like, continuing to refine everything, I think, is a goal. I want to do more Pilates, like, even more than I'm doing now. And I want to keep cooking more. Like, I think I'll give myself props for that. I'm doing a really good job of some of my goals I set earlier this year. And one of those was to cook more. And I'm taking that to the next level. And again, going back to the theme of the episode, which is kind of, like, romanticizing life via this whole Q&A. but I want to really romanticize cooking too. So it's like, cook a fun new recipe, put it in a bowl that makes me happy. At night, maybe I'm in a bath and I'm pouring like a poppy over my crushed ice with my magnesium. I'm drinking that before bed, whatever it is, just doing everything up like a little bit extra. I want to keep like providing value for you guys and creating content that you guys are excited about and doing things in a way that like feels really natural and organic to me. And oh, this is a big personal goal for me right now. Continuing to be, to learn to like be in my feminine more and not, because I'm in my masculine for work oftentimes, like co-founder, Courtney, creation, like all this kind of stuff, like go, 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 have to like get shit done. And then I'm also the chief creative officer. So I get to sit back and be in my feminine in that way. But since I'm like leading things, I still feel like I switch into my masculine. So even like in relationships, like staying in my feminine like that. So that's been big for me this year. I feel like that's a pretty well-rounded list, you know? What did you think of the Dyson hair straightener? Is it worth the hype? Yes, I love it. If you have thick, textured hair, if you have frizz, anything like that, I find that it's awesome because it can take your hair from wet to dry, which I love, versus just like dry hair and trying to like straighten it. It's actually like giving you a sleek, I don't want to say it's not a blowout. It's not like a bouncy blowout. It's straight. Like it's sleek, but it takes it from wet. So it like takes out a step if you want to straighten your hair. It takes out like the middle needing to blow it out and then you need to straighten it. It's just like one thing. So if you like sleek, straight hair and you have thick textured hair, I think it's worth it. Probably not worth it if you have really fine hair or if you already have like straight-ish hair, then I wouldn't spend the money because it's pricey. Versus like the Dyson Airwrap, for me personally, it is hard to use. I think like if you have thin hair or straight hair, the Dyson Airwrap is probably awesome because it gives body and it adds like that wave and that curl. For me, my hair has too much frizz to where like if I just do that, then it still maintains the frizz and it's just like a curl, like a waved frizz situation. I don't know. So I prefer this. And then for curls, like I'll blow it out or I'll let it air dry and then I'll just use a curling iron. I like that better. Or like a regular blowout. Okay, guys, that's it for this Q&A. I don't know if we're going to do like a part two or what. Honestly, I have one more episode to film today, but I just know it's going to be good. I feel it in my bones today. Don't forget to give me a review. I love you guys, and I'll see you in my next one. Bye.